thing that's been contributing to this meeting tonight. And just looking for the Lord to come to us and help us. Aren't you glad for the Lord? Amen. I was listening to our president make a speech back in December. And boy, it seems hard to believe it's already April, doesn't it? But back in December, he was making a speech prior to the elections in Iraq. And he said something in one of those speeches that I really liked. He said that 2006 would be a year of liberty. Now, I understand what he was referring to, but I also know what I thought of whenever he said that. Amen. For you see, it seems like to me 2006 would be a good year of liberty among the wholeness people. Amen. But how are we going to experience that liberty? Well, isn't there someplace in the Bible that says something about where the Spirit of the Lord is? There is liberty. Oh, thankful for the liberty we have felt in this revival, this impromptu revival this weekend. And just thankful for the way it worked out, and enough been said about that already, but just thankful to the Lord for how He's touched us and helped us. So I want to say thank you for everything that's been done for us, all the meals that's been provided, and Sister Kathy has cooked for us, and Brother Sad's taking me out of different things, and people bought meals, and I'm just thankful for that. And I love coming to House of Prayer. You're our friend, and I just appreciate the opportunity to be here. And I want to say this: I appreciate your pastor. I really do. I appreciate him, and appreciate his friendship to me. And I believe I've said this before, but I feel like I say it again: that I'm thankful for men of God. Now, there's a difference between a preacher and a man of God. Did you know that? Oh, yeah, there is. I've met some that they were good preachers, but they really weren't men of God. But the House of Prayer is blessed to have a man of God. Oh, you've got a preacher. Don't ever doubt it. Brother Sad is a preacher, but he's also a man of God. And that is, you can't put a price tag on that. And I've enjoyed our time of fellowship this last few days, driving down the road with him, sitting in his office, let me use his book. Hallelujah. And I told him this afternoon, this evening, I was working on this little message here since I've been here, and I told him, I said, I've not been used to having all these resources. I'm going to feel handicapped now after I leave here, all that good stuff in there. And I appreciate him being kind enough to let me pillage through some of his material. Amen. So, anyway, John chapter 7 tonight. John chapter 7. I trust the Lord to help us. I feel like we ought to have church. And I come looking for a move of God. And here we are in the preaching. And I hope that the Lord would do it like He did in the book of Acts. While Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell on them. Amen. Oh, I'd like a Holy Ghost interruption here tonight. John chapter number 7. Thank you for your offerings. May the Lord bless you for your kindness to us. John chapter 7, verse number 37, very familiar text. The Bible says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Notice the words in red here. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The Lord would help us tonight. I'd like to try to preach on rivers of reviving. Rivers of reviving. This text that I've chosen tonight is very interesting for one simple fact, that Jesus tells them about a drink that becomes a river. Amen. Oh, I'm glad for the commentary that John gave us. We have this short narrative in verse 37, verse 38 of the Master. But then John saw fit to put a little commentary in verse number 39 and said, amen, but this spake he of the Spirit. Amen. How many knows that the Holy Ghost is a vital part of the Christian experience? Amen. From its very beginning, amen, we know that it's the Spirit that draws a man. We also know that, amen, it takes the Spirit to regenerate, amen, the soul at salvation. We also know that the Holy Ghost has a sanctifying effect in our life. And, oh, thank God for the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So I'm thankful tonight for this Holy Ghost experience that we can have. That's why it's so important that we have revival. Amen. That's why it's so important that we come to the house of God. That's why it's so important that we pray. There must be a time when we come and drink of God's power so that we may have rivers of reviving in our soul. Hallelujah. I want to draw your attention tonight, first of all, verse number 37, where Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Notice here the offer that was extended, amen, in this passage of Scripture. Notice it was inclusive of all, for it said, if any man, praise God. I said, if any man, this offer has been extended for all. Praise God. There's not one of us here tonight in this service, amen, that cannot take advantage of this offer that has been given to us. He said, if any man thirst, let him come. Praise God. There are some that think that this heavenly gift is only for the preacher. It's only for the singer. It's only for the teacher or the deacon. But how many knows tonight that this precious rivers of reviving, amen, are available to all that sit in the house of the Lord tonight? For everyone that believeth, every born-again believer has the opportunity, amen, to take a drink of this water, amen, that can become a river. Praise God. Oh, thank God, amen, that He has offered this to everyone. In Acts 2 and 39, amen, it says, for the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Do you realize tonight, amen, that for every mother that has a family to care for, God has given us the power of the Holy Ghost, amen, to be able to perform our task. Amen. For every father that must be the spiritual leader of their home, God has offered us a drink that can become a river. Hallelujah. For every teenager that's dealing with growing up in this dangerous world, amen, you can experience the power of Pentecost in your life. And for every child, amen, that says, I love Jesus, amen, there's an opportunity for you to experience rivers of living water in your soul. This is an inclusive offer. It's been offered to everyone tonight. Amen. Not only is this offer inclusive of all, but we also realize from this text that it is exclusive of some. For notice what it says, if any man thirst. Oh, you see that right there. Amen. It's a qualification that some have not yet met. Amen. There has to be a thirst. If any man thirst. The reason that some have never tasted of this blessed Holy Ghost is they've never have got thirsty enough for Him. Amen. Oh, friend, listen to me tonight. If you're going to get a drink from the fountain of living water, amen, and experience rivers of living water, you're going to have to be thirsty for Him. Hallelujah. I said you're going to have to be thirsty for Him. Amen. If you're never thirsty, if there's never thirsting and hungering after the things of God, you will be void of the blessings of God. But friend, I want to tell us tonight, He said, if any man thirst. Hallelujah. Oh, are you thirsty for a drink tonight? I said, did you come to the house of God thirsty for a drink of water? Hallelujah. Amen. I think that it would be true to say that thirst is the most intensive form of desire, wouldn't you? Oh, yes, it is. In this country that we live in, we're so blessed. Very seldom are we ever thirsty. But we have plenty of water. Amen. Now, I know we say sometimes that we're dying for thirst. How many knows that that's just an exaggerated expression? Amen. But there are places, and I don't know all about India, but Brother Phoenix can probably tell us more about that tonight. Amen. About people that are thirsty, dying of thirst. And I want to tell you, my friend, amen, when we come to this spiritual matter of drinking,
of the river of water, amen, and rivers of living water, amen, I realize that there are those who do not have the intensity in their desire that they ought to have. Amen. Concerning spiritual matters, what is the intensity of your desire? Amen. I said, what is the intensity of your desire? You see, I have encountered those that said, I'm thirsty for the Holy Ghost. Amen. But they weren't thirsty enough to fast for Him. I said, I have met those, amen, that said they were thirsty, amen, for revival, but they were never willing to come to prayer meeting. I've seen those that said they were thirsty, amen, for a move of God, but you couldn't get on the midweek service. Amen. What is the intensity of your desire? I said, what is the intensity of your desire? Amen. I may not be able to tell, amen, amen, the intensity of your desire, but I do know how to measure it. Amen. For notice what Mark 11:24 says, whatsoever things ye desire when ye pray. Hallelujah. Amen. If you want to know the intensity of someone's desire, amen, then I have to look at the intensity of their prayer. Oh God. Amen. Oh, how intense are you in your prayer life? I said, how intense are you for a drink in your prayer life? The tragic thing is that many, amen, if we measure the intensity of their desires by the intensity of their prayers, we find they have very little intensity at all for spiritual things. They're more satisfied to come to church and be at church and yawn through a service and go home the same way they come than they are to get into the altars, amen, and push for a move of God, amen, and try to experience a fresh visitation in their soul. But oh, thanks be to God, amen, that the Savior recorded these words. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hallelujah. That's a promise tonight. Hallelujah. I talked to you last night about promises. There's a promise right there. If you're hungry enough, if you're thirsty enough, you're going to get a drink after a while. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Bishop Taylor Smith said this. He prayed one time that we might become recipients, that we may become donors. Oh, when's the last time that you got a big enough drink in the house of God that you wasn't just a recipient of the blessing, but you became a donor of the blessing? When's the last time that you got enough of this drink, this water, that it became rivers of reviving in your soul until it wasn't just something you received, but you were a blessing to those around you? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I think we need to take advantage of this, don't you? I said, I think there needs to be a desire. I said, there has to be a desire in our life. The offer that was extended, notice this, the opportunity that's to be experienced. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. We must take advantage of this opportunity to drink. In this text, I notice, oh, help me, Holy Ghost, tonight. I notice where it says, if any man thirst, let him come. That lets me know that this drink is something that is personal. Let him come. Amen. You see, no one can force you or make you come. Oh, yeah, we have revivals. The pastor turns the lights on, opens the doors, schedules an evangelist to come and preach because he sees a need for revival among his people. But friend, I want to tell you something. Amen. We can get you to the house of God. Amen. And we can come in here and sing the songs and preach our messages. But really, nobody can force you to drink. Amen. I said, nobody can make you do it. If it comes down to you getting a drink in your soul tonight, amen, it's not going to be because we forced it down your throat. It's going to be because you came and partook of the blessing. Amen. Everything about this Christian experience is personal. Amen. It's things that I have to do. Amen. It's moves that I have to make. It's a personal experience. We cannot rely on grandma. We cannot rely on grandpa. We cannot rely on the singer. And we cannot rely on the preacher. I know there's some that come to the house of God and they'll say, sing it down, singer. They'll say, preach it down, preacher. But friend, I want to tell you something. Amen. The preacher can be as anointed can be. But if you don't drink of the blessings of God, you're going to go home thirsty. It doesn't matter how good the preacher preaches If you don't receive it, if you don't come and drink, you're going to go home, amen, dehydrated. Hallelujah. You've got to make the effort. I said, you've got to make the effort. Does the preacher have a responsibility? Yes, he does. He has a responsibility to pray and see God's face and have a message, a burden on his heart. Does the singer have a responsibility? Yes, he has a responsibility. But friend, I want to tell you something. It's really not a lack of preaching that we're suffering from in 2006. It's a lack of acting upon the preacher's preaching. Oh, hallelujah. I said we can't blame it on the preacher, and we can't blame it on the singer. We can't blame it on the musician. If there's any reason why you go home in this service tonight the same way you come, it's going to be because you did not drink. Hallelujah. Jesus has the table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people. Come and dine. Hallelujah. It's here for the taking tonight. I said it's here for the taking tonight. You can get a drink. I said you can come to church on Tuesday night and you can get a drink. Well, not only is this drink a personal thing, but oh, it's a pleasurable thing. Oh, yes, it is. How many know there's nothing more refreshing than to come in from working out in the burning sunshine and take a drink of cool, refreshing water? Oh, I remember before I went full time, I worked with Randy Coffey up there in Cincinnati, Ohio, Hamilton, Ohio. And he did a lot of concrete tear-out. And for some odd reason, brother, whenever there was a jackhammer to run or a sledgehammer to swing, I got that job. Amen. I really enjoyed it. Amen. Because every time he aggravated me, amen, I just picked up the sledgehammer. Hallelujah. Amen. And went to the concrete. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I remember working in the sunshine. Boy, hot and sweaty. Oh, I remember. And you know what? If you used to walk up to me in the middle of the day, whenever I've just been sitting in the trailer relaxing, amen, to hand me a thermos, amen, to drink out of that, that wouldn't be that refreshing. You know, we'd just rather have a glass of ice, you know, and refresh ourselves that way. But friend, whenever you're thirsty enough, amen, a mud puddle almost looks refreshing. Come on now. Amen. When you're thirsty enough, hey man, something to drink is well invited. And I want to tell you something. How many times have I seen it? Hey man, when I've been in the hot burning wilderness of trials and troubles and come into the house of God, amen, and find myself drinking, amen, from the rivers of living water and find how refreshing they are to my soul. Oh, hallelujah. When's the last time you have found these rivers of reviving? I said, when's the last time that you came to the house of God and took a drink and left with rivers of reviving running through your soul? Oh, do you remember? I said, do you remember how good it feels? Hallelujah. Do you remember what pleasure it brings to your life? Amen. To partake of the blessings of God. Amen. David had forgotten. I said, David had forgotten that one day in a cave with the Philistines surrounding him, he began to remember, hallelujah, that well at Bethlehem. And he said, oh, that I might drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem. He remembered how good it was. I said, he remembered how good it was. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Somebody here tonight, it's been a while since you've gone with joy from the wells of salvation. But I come to preach to somebody tonight, you can get a drink. I said, you can leave it here with rivers of reviving running through your being if you'll just get a drink at the water of life tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I remember times when I came in. I remember one time, amen, we were evangelizing already, and I'd been gone at that point. By the time I'd been gone for probably a month. And I remember now, you know, then has the longest I've been away out preaching and trying to survive. Brother Collins told me when I went full time, he said a successful ministry is the one that survives. And I didn't know what he talked about, but now 5.5 years later, I kind of figured out what he's talking about. But I came in one time and I was discouraged, struggling, getting started. Amen. Trying to do something for the Lord. And I come in, and you know, at the highway, he's been there and have prayer services. Amen. We don't do much praying. We always do a lot of preaching. We start off at 7 and preach till 7:25, pray till 7:30, then we start serving. But it was a way that the young preachers could preach, and I preached a lot of those prayer services. And I remember I came in from the road one night. I got home my first night back at the highway. And I really wasn't in no shape to preach. I'll just be honest with you. And I even was tempted to show up late. You know, a lot of guys did that when they didn't have nothing to say. They just show up at 7:15 so Brother Collins wouldn't call on them. I thought about doing that. But I thought, no, I need to be on time. Well, Brother Collins, he's been praying that day. I know he had, because he didn't ask me to preach. Hallelujah. Amen. I didn't have nothing to say. Praise God. And I sat there on that pew, and preaching went through. I don't even remember who preached now. Song service went through, and I'll just tell you, I was just sitting there, and I didn't want to do nothing. I didn't want to testify. I'm just being honest with you. I just was discouraged and down and out. Ever been there? Oh, I know some have, because I've seen the pastor ask you to stay home. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. But I didn't want to sing. Brother Collins didn't get us to sing. I didn't get anointed. I was begrudging the fact I was even ever up singing. It's horrible to admit it, but I was just the way it was. But I'll never forget Brother Rex Floyd that night. Got behind the piano, and man, he's a singing machine. And he struck a chord on that piano and took off singing. And I'm telling you, out of nowhere, the power of God fell in that service. And I was just standing over there watching everything that was going on. Amen. And you've been around my wife now enough to know that she's not much of a shouter. She's a crier. Oh, yeah. Amen. But she don't shout much. Amen. She's a crier. Amen. But that night I looked over in the power of God's hall, and I seen my sweetheart over there, and she's cutting her up. Hallelujah. And sound under the power of God, and something got a hold of me and said, hey, brother, amen, it's time you get a drink. Praise God. I don't remember what happened much after then. Amen. I just remember when I got up off the floor. Amen. My tie was gone. My hair was what's left of was messed up. Amen. My shirt was wrinkled. I was hot and sweaty. But when I got up with a sad, I felt like I got the Holy Ghost all over again. Hallelujah. I just come to tell you, my friends, if you surprise for forgotten how good it is. Amen. Why don't you come and get another drink tonight? I said, if you've forgotten how good it is to get lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost, why don't you take another drink? I said, why don't you take another drink? Amen. The offer that was extended. Amen. The opportunity that's to be experienced, and the overflow that's to be expected. He said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. When we drink of this water, there will be an overflow effect throughout our life. Since when have you had that overflow effect in your life? Who helped the Holy Ghost right here? When's the last time it got so good in your soul? Amen. When you left the house of God, you couldn't help it. You got to work the next day, and you had to tell somebody that. I wonder sometimes about our Holy Ghost meetings. I'm not being critical here. You know me well enough to know how I love singing and shouting and the Holy Ghost power moving in the service. But I wonder how deep this river is flowing in our lives when we can come in and shout our shoe heels off on Sunday. Amen. And before we get to the job on Monday, amen, we don't tell anybody about it. There's no overflow effect in our lives. Friend, I want to tell you something. When you take this drink and it becomes a river in your soul, amen, it will have an effect throughout your entire life. I said it will have an effect through your entire life. Amen. S.D. Gordon was quoted and saying, so many Christians, far from being like rivers that are flowing continually, are like taps that drip occasionally. Amen. That's the extent of many people's experience in this hour. Amen. I said that's the extent of many people's experience in this hour. They come in, they get a drink, and they drift. Amen. I said they get a drink, and then they drift, but then they go home. Amen. And the flow's cut off. Amen. They don't have enough power of God. Amen. To kick the TV out. They don't have enough power of God. Amen. To stay out of the things of the world. They don't have enough power of God to clean out the closet. I'm just trying to preach to somebody tonight. It's time we get a drink, amen, that becomes a river. I said it's time we take a drink that becomes a river and changes the way we live our lives. I said it ought to change the way we live. Oh, George Duncan. I told you, I enjoyed Brother Sad's library back there today. Amen. George Duncan said, the analogy and metaphor of the Christian is not a sponge, but a spring. Did you hear me? I said the metaphor and analogy of the Christian is not a sponge, but a spring. Well, I've heard him say it before. Well, preacher, I'm just like a sponge, soaking it all up. It's awful quiet tonight. I seem like I've had that effect this weekend. Praise God. Amen. A sponge, just soaking it all up. Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen. That's our excuse for never worshiping, never praising. Just sit around and soak it all up. Pat somebody else on the back, raise our hand, and look around and see what else is going on all around us. Oh, come on now. I said, just observing and looking, just soaking it all up, preacher. Amen. Just soaking it all up. I want to tell you something. When a sponge becomes saturated, it becomes useless. Did you hear me? I said, when a sponge becomes saturated, it becomes useless. And then what has to happen? It has to be squeezed. Oh yeah, that's why the preacher preaches like he does. He has so many sponges sitting on the pew. Every once in a while, he's got to do some squeezing. Amen. To get some productivity out of your life. Amen. I told you I come to preach to you tonight about rivers of revival. Are you a sponge or are you a spring? Hallelujah. I said, are you a sponge or are you a spring? Amen. Did you come to church tonight just to soak it all up and go home sopping wet? Amen. Never experiencing the fullness of the blessing? Or did you come tonight to get a drink and leave the service tonight with a river of living water flooding your heart? Hallelujah. God help us tonight to throw away the spines and become a spring. Hallelujah. Oh God, help us to take a drink that becomes a river. I'm almost done. Amen. Notice the source of this overflow. Amen. From Ezekiel chapter 47, we read about this river that Ezekiel had a vision of. And notice where it began at. Amen. It began at the house of God. Afterward, he brought me again to the door of the house. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. The beginning of this river was at the house of God by the altar. Do you realize that's exactly where we're at tonight? We're right here in the house of God, with an altar service looking us straight in the eye. Amen. Oh, I want to tell you tonight, this is a great opportunity, amen, to find the source of the spring. Amen. And find what it's like to leave with rivers of living water flowing through your life. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Look at the place it was at. It was at the house of God. How many knows that's why it's important to come to church? I said, that's why it's important to come to the house of God. The river of God's blessing always begins at the house of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I got saved at a church. I got sanctified at a church service. Amen. I was filled with the Holy Ghost in a church service. Amen. I was healed in a church service. Amen. I was called to preach in a church service. Amen. Then I want to tell you something. We're at the place tonight where we can get a drink. I said, we're right here tonight at the place where we can get a drink at. But it's not so much the place. Amen. Oh, you see, there's many churches that we could go to tonight, but it's the presence that we encounter inside this place that makes the difference. Amen. It's not necessarily, amen, just because you're in a church house, but it's because of the presence of the Holy Ghost that was here Saturday night, that was here Sunday, that was here last night. You can get a drink tonight. I said, you can get a drink if you'll get in contact with the presence of God. I said, we can get a drink if we get in contact with the presence of God. Starts off ankle deep. Oh, hallelujah. It proceeds on until it's knee deep. Amen. Hip deep. Waist deep. Until finally, rivers. Amen. To swim in. Waters to swim in. The farther it flowed, the deeper it got. I said, the farther it flowed, the deeper it got. Oh, some folks, you can tell they've not been in the river long enough. It's not flowing deep enough. I said it's not flowing deep enough. But not only the farther does it flow, does it deepen, but it also widens. Oh yeah. It starts off. Amen. He passes from one side to the other. Amen. But after he gets down water to swim in, he said it was a river that could not be passed over. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I don't only want that deepening effect in my life, but I want that widening effect. Amen. Reaching out and touching every aspect of my life. Oh, help us tonight, Lord. I said, help us tonight. Not only the source of it, but the force of it. It became the power of a rushing river. I said, this river become powerful in its force. Amen. Go to New York tonight. Amen. Step over on the Canada side. Amen. And you can see Niagara River standing there on the banks. I've been there. It does not look like that much of a powerful river. Amen. Just a simple river running to the countryside, but you go on until you get to the bluff where it goes cascading over the side, and you realize the power of that river when you witness Niagara Falls. Amen. It is astonishing to see the force of that river as it runs over the edge. Friend, I want to preach to us tonight. Amen. That's what we need in our experience. We need a rushing mighty river running through our lives, bringing a difference. A river of God's blessing would flow through our lives. What makes it so powerful? It was such a powerful thing because everywhere it went, it brought life. Amen. I said everywhere it went, it brought life. Everything shall live with the river coming. Anytime you see a flood in the natural sense, you see the effects of it. I was parked in Richlands, Virginia. There at Brother Ralph Horton's church, the Tabernacle. You that's been there know that that RV park, there at their church, right up against the river. It was in May. It was the very storm that flooded Brother Mike Roberts' church. And I was parked there. My hitch wasn't in my truck. We were getting ready for homecoming at Brother Webb's, and I was hauling stuff and didn't have a hitch. It rained. I think it rained like 10 inches in 2 hours up there in those mountains. And there's only one place for water to go in the mountains. And that's down. And we was in the bottom. And I remember it was raining so hard, and we went to bed that night, me and my wife, and about, I'd say 3:30 in the morning, there was a knock on my door. I thought it was just one of my friends trying to pull a prank on me in the middle of the night. And so I didn't do nothing about it. I just tried to go back to sleep. About 20, 30 minutes later, there was no longer a knock at the front door, but it was a knock on the front of my fifth wheel, and I heard a man screaming, "Get out, the river's rising." And I got up and looked out the door, and all I could see was water. Amen. I hurried up. Amen. My wife grabbed our computer, our laptop, and the offerings. Hallelujah. And we skedaddled. Hallelujah. We got out of there. Amen. Waded through water. The water was already up on the rims of my trailer. That's when I had my new one ordered. I said, let the insurance company take care of it. Hallelujah. I'm out of here. Amen. But I remember, that's as high as the water's got. Amen. But I remember after the water went down, everywhere that water had been, you saw its effect. It left its mark everywhere it went. You could see the devastation of it. You could see the destruction of it. Now I realize in the world that we live in, there is a flood tide of sin that we see the effects of on every hand. How many knows that the Bible said that when the enemy comes in like a flood? Oh, we see that effect, don't we? I said we see the effect of sin in this hour on every hand. But how many knows, amen, that there is a flood tide of the Spirit that can come and contradict, amen, the flood tide of sin? You see, when sin leaves its mark, it brings death. But when the Spirit comes, it brings life. When sin comes, it brings destruction. But when the Spirit comes, it brings, deliverance. When sin comes, it brings regret. But when the Spirit comes, it brings revival. I say tonight, I see the flood tide of sin outside these doors. But when the doors open up in the house of prayer, oh, that they could see the effect of the flood tide of the Spirit of God in our lives. Hallelujah. Lord, help us get a drink tonight. I said, Lord, help somebody get a drink tonight that we can leave here with rivers of living water flowing out of our soul. I'm closing with this. Brother Bobby, you want to get ready. In the flood of 93 on the Mississippi River, I still lived at home there at my mother's in Granite City. In fact, our church is only about a mile from the lock and dam system there on the Mississippi River. And I remember so vividly that flood. Oh, it was a power. That Mississippi was a powerful force in the flood of 93. I remember going to the arch, the steps of the arch. Amen. Was covered with water. Water rose up onto the steps of the arch. And there was one particular event that happened. You see, after the river got so vicious and so strong, what levees it did not flow over, it began to flow through. I think that's kind of what Brother Shoecraft was talking to us about a while ago. Amen. That river, some would flow over, others it would flow through. And I remember seeing the pictures in the paper of one particular place where that levee broke. Amen. When that levee broke, you saw the levee breaking, and there was a huge farmhouse and a massive oak tree. It looked like the oak tree was probably 3 feet in diameter. But after the water began to rush through that levee, you saw the next picture. It was the house as it was being swept off its foundation, and the tree as it began to lean over. And in the third picture, no house, no tree, completely washed away by the power of the river. Oh, I tell you tonight, if we could get a drink, amen, that becomes a river, amen, a river of reviving in our soul, it would sweep from our lives those things that don't need to be there. I said, oh, if we could get a drink, amen, of these waters of living water, amen, and become rivers of living water, what a difference it would make in our soul. I want to know tonight, are you thirsty? I said, are you thirsty? Amen, let's stand all over the house and lift our hands. Ask the Lord to help us tonight. Father, help us tonight, Jesus. Help us tonight, Lord. Help us tonight, Jesus. Oh, God. Don't let us be a sponge tonight, Lord. Oh, don't let us be a sponge. Make our experience a spring of living water. Oh, God. Oh, Holy Ghost, have your way right now. Holy Ghost, have your way right now. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I was reminded as we prayed about that woman that came to Jesus. She had come to the well to get water. Amen. She came thirsty. She came needing a drink of water. She was a woman of ill repute. She lived a horrible life. But she found out that day that she could take a drink of water that would become a river in her soul. Before I make an altar call tonight, I just feel like doing here. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around.